Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 for a scripture reading. Matthew chapter 6, please, verses 25 to 34. This is our second time being on this passage, and we continue our study on the topic of worry. The title of our sermon is Winning the War Over or Against Worry. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. God's word says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Of our sermon on worry, winning the war against worry. Last Sunday, dearly beloved, we discussed that many Australians are living with anxiety. We said 3.4 million Australians, 17% of our entire country. And maybe this morning you came into this hall and maybe this past week has been filled with worries and anxieties. Circumstances came along your way and it was just a big temptation to worry, to fidget, to think about things over and over again instead of trusting the Lord and putting them in his hands. Now we define that worry, dearly beloved, is this. Worry is kind of like a mental strangulation. Because worry comes from that German word, Wurgen, which means strangulation. And that's what it is. When you worry, when I worry, we are strangled in our mind, which is the seat of our emotions. That's why everything about us is affected. And therefore, even this word fits the notion of a panic attack. It comes out through different symptoms, like difficulty of breathing, palpitations, sleep problems, and you're not able to stay calm and still, and you're uneasy. And you have dry mouth and nausea, and you have tense muscles and dizziness. These are a few of the things that come out when we continuously give in to worry. We are succumbing to things that really affects the entirety of our life. Our emotional life, our mental life, our spiritual life even is very much affected. And last Sunday, we also contrasted, dearly beloved, how the world gives counsel to those who are filled with worry and anxiety and fear. And the overall gist of that, dearly beloved, is there's no God there. God is no place in a people helping system from the worldly perspective. And they usually just focus on the here and now. And they don't approach where the root of worry is, which is the heart. That's where it is. The Word of God says that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. And that For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So when we worry, we become worriers. And therefore, that's why the counsel of the Word of God is, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything comes from the heart. Either worry or fear or anything else, dearly beloved. It comes from the heart. That's why when we approach the Word of God this morning, we see that what counsel we have is the truth. The truth. And that's the foundation of everything. We can win the war against worry if we go back to the Word of God, which is the truth. Because worry, if you look at it, dearly beloved, is actually a battle of truth and lies. It's a battle between truth and lies. If you're a Christian this morning, you know the Word of God. Know what God's words say to you as a Christian. You know, we have sung this truth this morning through the words of the Psalms. He cares for us. He loves us. But here we are worrying. Will God provide? Will God be with me? Will God take care of me? I don't understand, Pastor, what's happening. Will God see me through? You know the answer. Right? You know, you can read the Word of God. You have read it many times. You have memorized it. But there's a war. A war between truth and lies. And if we give in to the lies, worry comes out. But if we stand on the truth, dearly beloved, peace comes out. Rest is there. You know? And there's joy. There's contentment. There's satisfaction. So dearly beloved, you see that what we are learning this morning to combat worry is truth. And here's what it is, dearly beloved. Truth applied wins against worry. Truth applied wins the war against worry. Now, I know that in the past, even for my own personal experience, there's many counsel, and every counsel, it's always just read your Bible. No, this is a problem. Read your Bible. No, that's not bad, per se, right? But dearly beloved, reading the Bible will not solve worry. Whoa, Pastor, that's a big statement. Hold on. What do you mean? Let me elaborate. Even if you read the Bible 100 times and you do not apply. Is that clearer now? Can you accept that statement now? Okay? Because it's not about just reading. People can read. Even the unbelievers can read. Right? And we can read this passage over and over again. But it's not about truth read that will change lives, that will eradicate worry. No, truth applied wins the war against worry. Because I'm sure, dearly beloved, you and I have gone through this passage over and over again. You have read this already. You have heard sermons about this, haven't you? And you might even be able to remember the outline of the pastor from this very passage. But wait a minute, why do we still worry? Because again, it's not about hearing the message, reading the Word of God. It's about applying what you and I have read, what you and I have heard, dearly beloved. So the counsel against worry is not just read your Bible. Okay? That's a good start. That's a good start, dearly beloved. That's why in our biblical counseling classes, if you want to counsel biblically, you just don't stop there. You sometimes say, read the Bible and find out three things you must do to combat worry. Now that gives you a direction on what you must, not just reading per se. So dearly beloved, reading is a good start. The pages of the Bible read is a good start. But you become frustrated. You and I become frustrated because we don't apply the Word of God. So when we apply the truth of God's Word in our daily life, we will see changes. We are sanctified. So dearly beloved, I promised you last Sunday that we will have four important truths that we must learn and apply so that we as Christians can win the war against worry. Are you ready? The first one is found in verse number 24. We have discussed this already, but this is important. Christ says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Here we see, dearly beloved, that to win the war over worry, Jesus is saying that since you want to serve God, right? That's the aim of a Christian. You want to serve God and you cannot serve money, and God says, well, you need to choose. And I'm sure all of us can say, I want to serve God, Pastor. I'm 13 years old, but I want to serve God. And you 60 years old, me too, Pastor. No, I want to serve God. That's the direction I want to go. Wonderful. If worry comes in to tempt you, to win that war, you must acknowledge that God is a good master. You must acknowledge that God is a good master. When we choose to serve God, we are acknowledging that God is our master. And may I ask, what kind of a master is God? What kind of a master is God? Now, this is important because I know some of you have worked in a company, in an office, where your boss is not a good boss. Any of you have experienced this before? No? Wow, good for you. Oh, one raised at the back. There are experiences like that. You come into the office and it didn't take 1 month to realize my boss is not a good boss. And on top of that, he doesn't like Christians. Oh no. And so he hates me. My presence just really is just distasteful to him. Not good, not a good boss at all. Now, dearly beloved, God, if we answer the question, what kind of a master is God? God is, the answer is that he is a kind master. This is a God that we serve who is kind. And he is powerful. And he is rich. And he is sovereign. And he is good. We serve a powerful God. In fact, Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 says that he is the creator of everything. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So dearly beloved, if you're a Christian this morning, you're serving the Lord, you're serving our master. Remember that our master is a powerful master. And as a powerful master, he can powerfully provide for your needs. He can see you through any circumstance you are in. Oh, you may say this, oh, Pastor, you don't know where I am right now, Pastor. I might be smiling right now at you, Pastor, but you don't know what happened to me this past week. I may not know. Yeah. And if you would tell me, I will not be able to, I am sorry about this, I'm only human. I'm not be able to understand and grasp fully how you feel. And that may frustrate you. Because even your pastor cannot understand. I'm sorry about that. But you know who can powerfully understand and see you through that circumstance you're in? God. He can. He can, because he is a powerful master. If he can say to the wind and the storm, peace be still, and the storm just ceases to be, how much more the situation you are in today? He is a powerful master. Is God rich or poor? He's a rich God, isn't he? He owns everything. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. All its fullness. The world and those who dwell therein. That's our God. He's a rich God. His richness is unlimited. I know we talk about Forbes 100, top of the list. Even in Australia, we have our top richest people here. And I read a few of them. Wow, their lands, their properties in the city, many. You know, one property is like 10 million. And multiply that for how many? And they have jets, and they have islands, and they have malls, and they have all of this wealth. Amazing! But dearly beloved, even all the rich people in the world combined cannot compare to the rich, the riches of our God. That's how rich our God is. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. Can you imagine that? So is this rich God, can this rich God provide for your needs? Of course He can. That's why we don't need to worry. Is God sovereign or not? He is sovereign, dearly beloved. He is the ruler of everything. Psalm 103 verse 19 tells us, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules. Doesn't stop there. Kingdom rules over all. Over all, dearly beloved. Every nation, every continent, even in the areas where there's no people there, He rules there. In the oceans, in the air, in different planets, and asteroids and comets, wherever the universe takes our minds, God is there. He is ruling. And even, dearly beloved, that place, hell. They say Satan is the one ruling there. He's going to have his seat there, and he's going to be laughing, and then, ha, 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 ha. You are all going to suffer here. No, dearly beloved, that is not the kingdom of Satan. No, that's not. Satan will not rule in hell. He will be suffering in hell. He will be judged. He will be punished in hell. Who's the ruler there? It's God. God owns that. So, dearly beloved, God is the sovereign ruler of all. And listen, God can sovereignly provide for your needs. God can sovereignly provide for your needs. We don't need to worry. You and I don't need to worry. There was this man many, many years ago who started an orphanage ministry. Orphanage ministry. He wants to take care of all of these children on the streets. Most of them are being abused. Most of them are being taken to do labor, and unpaid labor at that. And he had, with his wife, had burden for these kids. And so he started an orphanage in a house. Then it multiplied to the different houses next to him. But there was a man who was against this plan because the child labor that he has as a business is being affected. Being affected. And so he has this plan. I need to report him because he has this number of kids in the house. And you know that we have standards, right? In the house, how many kids? And so the owner told him, you can't do that. Even one time. There was no more food on the table. And the one preparing the food told him, sir, we don't have more food in the table. You know what he told everybody? Sit down around the table, put plates on the table. And the cook was like, what are we going to serve? Pray and thank the Lord for the food. Like, scrap. What are we going to... So they just obeyed. They prayed, thank the Lord for food. And you know what happened, kids? There was a knock on the door. And they opened the door, and lo and behold, sir, I have milk, tons and tons of milk that I cannot deliver anymore. And it will go bad if this is not used. Do you think you can use this? Do you think some of your kids can drink this? Of course. Another knock. There's milk, but what are they going to eat with milk, right? Another knock. They open the door, and bread. was provided for free. And remember that building, dearly beloved? That man, when he was told, you cannot use this building anymore, these houses anymore, where are we going to go? Right? Where are they going to go and where are they going to take these children? And just across the street, nearby, he saw a field. And it says there, for sale. But of course, it's very, very expensive. They don't have money for it, to buy that property. But he talked to the owner. When he saw that sign, when he was walking and praying, he saw that sign. Oh, he talked to the owner. He said, we only have this amount of money. Please, we need this property to build. Well, of course, the owner wouldn't want to give that property just that amount, right? And so they left that conversation. And you know what, dearly beloved? That night, that owner was not able to sleep. No sleep. Just turning and turning and turning, thinking about that, those children, that property. So the very next day, that man who was trying to discourage the owner of the orphanage went to him, oh, what are you going to do now? You know? But the owner of that property came and said, okay, you win. I was not able to sleep last night. I'll sell that property to you so you can have it. And, dearly beloved, they were able to build orphanage right there in that property. Is our God rich or not? We serve a rich God who can provide all our needs and He reigns. He owns everything. So this church building we're looking for, just a matter of time. I think we need to pray for property owners around here that they will not be able to sleep. So that the next day they come here and they knock on our door, do you need a church building? Our God is a sovereign God. But lastly, our God, is He a good God or an evil kind of God? He is a good God. And because He's a good provider. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Did you hear that? I'll read it again. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Dearly beloved, hold on to this truth. Because many, many times, this is the truth that our enemy would like to eradicate from our minds. Why? Because sometimes, when we look at other people, you would think, oh, wow, they have a better thing there. Right? They have a better house there. Or look at that, they have a better family. They look so happy. And look at their children. They look also well-behaved. And look at their lawn. Oh, wow, they're so green. Mine, you know, and look at them, they're so healthy. Look at me, I'm very sickly. And look at their marriage, they look so happy on Facebook. And look at me, I'm struggling with my marriage. Look at the verse again. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. No good thing. Sometimes we worry because we're not contented. There's full of discontentment in our hearts. And that's the enemy of worry. Because if you just believe that God will not withhold anything good from you, if you just believe that God is good, you will not worry. Instead, you will be thankful. And yes, even for that lawn that seems dying, you will be thankful. Because then you can say, oh dear Lord, thank you. Next week, I'll have some sun, vitamin D, and exercise. Because I need to work on my lawn. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's the promise. Dearly beloved, worry is sin because it rejects that God is powerful, that God is rich, that God is sovereign and that God is good. And so next time you are tempted to worry about anything, remember, you and I need to acknowledge what kind of a master you and I have. What kind of a master in God you and I have. Number two, dearly beloved. So, to win the war against worry, you must acknowledge that God is a good master. But secondarily, to win the war over worry, we must also accept that you are important to God. You are important to God. Look at verses 25 to 31. Therefore, says Jesus, I say to you, do not worry about your life, and what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body and what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Dearly beloved, you know what? More than food, more than clothing, more than the things that surround our life, God's priority is you. You are God's priority. You are precious to God. God values you more than food. God values you more than clothes. God values you more than anything in this world. So for God, you are not just about food. You're not just about clothes and your lifespan. You know, this world, that's how they view people. Definitely. What you wear, so they assess you, right? They already look at you. Oh, when you come into a fancy shop. Come on. Look at you up and down. Will this guy buy something? Right? So if you're wearing something that's not really branded, like, oh. Right? You go to a car shop. If you're not wearing something fancy, you don't have a Gucci bag and Hermes clothes. Right? Am I saying these things right? They won't go to you and think that you're going to buy a car. Because they think that he's just a looker. Looker. Not a buyer. That's how the world operates. It's how you look. What kind of perfume you wear. What kind of watch you have. If your spectacles are branded. You know? And how many layers of fur you wear. That's how the world operates. But for the Lord, dearly beloved, your value does not revolve on a $250 menu that you ate last night. Or a $500 cufflinks that you're wearing. No. Or even your lifespan. Those are not life's priority for you even as a child of God. You do not live to eat or to dress up. Or you do not eat or dress up to live. Your value is not something temporal like these things. Even your very physical body is not the most valuable thing for God. The body will eventually be done away with someday. You know that. This will rot away. Yes, God will change it someday into an incorruptible body. That's right. So this is not the most important thing in this world. In the eyes of God, you. You have an eternal value. When you became a part of His kingdom, and His kingdom work, God commands us to set our eyes on things above, not on things below. Colossians chapter 3. So our eyes should not be like the world's eyes. Now we're looking at stuff and food and lifespan, you know. Worry sets in, dearly beloved, when you and I have a wrong sense of priority. When we prioritize all these temporal things like food and lifespans and clothes, that's why in this section, verses 25 to 30, we are commanded not to worry about these things, about today's things, about tomorrow's needs. Jesus tells us to live one day at a time. Remember the prayer that Jesus gave us as an example? Give us this day our weekly bread. Is that what it says? Our monthly bread. Our yearly bread. No, our daily bread. He forbids the anxious worry, which is so characteristic of the life which has not learned to trust God. So here's Jesus commanding us not to worry about three things. First, he says in verse number 26, do not worry about your life, or 25, what you will eat or what you will drink, what your body put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? 26, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value? Are you not of more value than they? Here's Jesus preaching this Sermon on the Mount, right? And he includes an illustration. Maybe there are birds chirping there. Maybe birds flying all over the place. They're on hills, in a hilly area, right? So Jesus Christ says, everybody, look at the birds. Maybe everybody looks, right? They look at the birds. Look at them, he says. Now, dearly beloved, we sometimes take for granted the birds as well here in the mountains. We have beautiful birds here. Sometimes in our backyard, we have like orange ones and green ones. I don't even know the names. Sorry about that. I still need to be more onto these things. But sorry, I have three children. I forgot their names sometimes too. So, sometimes they say, Daddy, you called me Paige. I'm Isla. Oh, sorry. You know? So I'm sorry that I don't know the birds' names, but I'll work on it. We take for granted birds, right? But Jesus Christ says, look at them. Look at the birds. They neither sow, nor reap, nor they gather into barns. In other words, dearly beloved, they have no mechanism like humans to feed themselves. They're just doing whatever they're doing as birds. They're flying, you know, they're chirping. The point that Jesus is making here is not that birds do not work. Okay, because if you observe them, it has been pointed out that no one even works harder than the average sparrow to make a living. Birds do work, don't they? They do eat and they gather these things and they even feed their young. The point here is this, that the birds do not worry. The birds do not worry. They just daily go out and find the food that God provides. That's it. Daily. They're just totally dependent on God's care. God takes care of them. That's what the verse says. Yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Who feeds them? God. God does. It's God the Father who feeds them. And one author said there is not to be found in them the human weakness of straining to see a future which cannot be seen. And of seeking to find security in things stored up and accumulated against the future. Can you see birds hoarding food? Can you see birds hoarding clothes? Can you see birds hoarding furniture? And all of the things in life that we hoard because we cannot trust God? No, birds do not hoard because they don't worry about these things. And Jesus asks, are you not more value than them? Answer that question in your heart. Which is more valuable, you or the birds? If you cannot find the answer right now to that, let me answer it for you. You are more valuable to God than birds. Far, far more. that he loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. Don't you see that? Jesus Christ didn't die for the birds. But Jesus Christ died for you, for your sins. So listen, dearly beloved, you are more important than birds. And since you are more important to God than the birds of the air, which he takes care of, will he not take care of you? Will he not? He will. So don't worry about food. The second thing is, do not worry about lifespan. Verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Now here, in this very verse, Jesus attacks the worry about longevity. Lifespan. Our culture is hyper-focused on the drive to live longer. Just Google it. How to live longer. Go on YouTube. How to live longer. How to lengthen your lives. In other words, how not to die yet. Right? How not to die yet. How to die when you're 120. And I'm telling you, you will have thousands of things there. Exercise, right? Eat turmeric, garlic, onions, all of these things. Drink this. Fast. Don't eat this. Eat this first. You know? And when you start to go to this list, and you have this massive information, statistics, suggestions, tactics, techniques, strategies, exercises, and all of these things you should do and you must not do. Supplements. You know, all of these things I cannot even read. And I took pre-med for 2 years. I should know the scientific names. I don't. They're so complicated. What happens? You start to worry. Oh no, I didn't do that. But this other person said I should do this. The contradictory. What should I do? Right? You're worried. You are worried about all of these things. And so you take all of these physical tests every year. Maybe you find something. Every year. Now, it's not bad to take this test every year. Go and do that. Okay? For prevention. But if there's worry constantly, dearly beloved, this is just not what the life that God wants us to have. And these things is a multi-million dollar industry. Now, dearly beloved, don't get me wrong. Of course, we have to take care of our bodies, right? But sometimes we cross the line. We start well by researching because we feel a pain here, and we research. We go to Dr. Google, right? And we end up worrying because of the many things we haven't done or we have done to ourselves, and we have not eaten, and we have eaten, and the list goes on and on. Now, 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So here, the little lover, Paul tells Timothy, and he tells us today, that there are some benefits for physical exercise. Okay? Taking care of our body is not wrong. It's not sin. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So yes, take care of your body. There is benefit, but it's a temporary benefit. So we're not advocating not to take care of our bodies, but here's the emphasis of Paul. Godliness. Godliness has far better and lasting benefits. So if you weigh things, exercise, physical things, worrying about longevity and health with godliness, godliness should be the priority. Godliness should be our aim. So Jesus asks, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Now stature here comes from the Greek word which means lifespan. Or term of life. While one cubit is an ancient measuring device. It's the length from your elbow all the way up to the tip of your finger. That's one cubit. And so Jesus Christ here uses this illustration to ask, can you add this length of a time to your life when you worry? If you become anxious about your lifespan, will it become longer? Will you live longer? Dearly beloved, worrying does not add life to your years. Worrying rather makes life miserable. With whatever little time you and I have. And that's true anyways. We have little time here. 60, 70, and you want to spend 10 years of that worrying? In fact, you can worry yourself to death, but not to life. Dr. Charles Mayo, or the famous Mayo Clinic, know him? Sometimes when you Google, that's what comes out, Mayo Clinic. He said this, worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the whole nervous system. He said, I have never met a man or known a man to die of overwork. But I have known a lot who died of worry. That's from a physical perspective, dearly beloved. So dearly beloved in the Lord, brothers and sisters, never forget that your life is in the hands of the Almighty God. In His timeline. In His perfect time. He already set forth when you were born and when you will die. You have no hand on that. There's no garlic that can make your life longer. It's all specified by God. There's a time to be born and a time to die. You don't need to be anxious about those things. And remember, you do not live by bread alone, says Christ. But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's God who sustains life, not the physical things. So our concern should be to a life of obedience and worship to God, entrusting everything to Him. Now, I'm not be able to finish this point this morning. We'll need to consider the third point, don't worry about clothes next time. But I want to end my personal experience with this. Because I had my own experience of worrying about lifespan. There was a time when I was afraid that I was going to die. And I was worrying. I was pretty sure. Because all of these symptoms was coming out. Palpitations and all of that. And I did sure have my fair share of panic attacks. So that I was not able to travel. And you know me, I love traveling. The Philippines is a traveling country. If you want to go to a different church, you need to go on a boat. Because islands are separated by seas and you need to fly. And as a preacher of the gospel, you invite sometimes to these churches to preach. I can't. Because I feel like when I'm going to a boat, going to an airplane, I'm being suffocated. I can't. I can't seem to think of going there. And so I was worried I was going to die. So of course, as a good biblical counselor that I should be, I went to the physical aspect first. I went to my doctor. I had my heart checked. I did my stress test. I did everything. And the doctor said, you're healthy. There's nothing wrong with you. We did all the tests that we could do to you. There's nothing wrong physically with you. And I know. Because I was worrying about something. Something specific that just really impacted my entire life. So I went back to my master. Because at that time, I was serving me, right? I was like, I want this to be me. I want to worry. I want to like control this. But I can't. I can't control it. I have no way of controlling the circumstances. I was trying to, but that was the effect, right? Because as humans, we can't control. But if we can try to control it, worry happens. Fear happens. Anxiety happens. So I went to my master. I confessed my sins, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm trying to control the things in life that I cannot control. I'm sorry. I'm worrying. I'm anxious. Lord, you called me as a pastor. I told him. I'm a preacher of the gospel. How can I preach when I cannot travel? How can I bring the good news to other people when I cannot even board a plane? I cannot even board a ship or a boat or a fast craft. Because I feel like I'm dying, Lord. I can't continue like this. If you want, just end my life. Because I want to serve you. And so, the Lord tested me. An invitation came. Pastor Jan, we want you to preach in one of our events at church. I said, oh Lord, this is it. Shall I worry or shall I trust you? So I spent time looking at plane tickets. But I cannot seem to click purchase. I know the schedule is there. I breathe deep and I pray, Lord, just help me. Click purchase. And then IT came into my mail. I prepared for it. I prayed. I trusted the Lord. Packed my bags. Went to the airport. Went to the tube. Heart started to palpitate. Started to feel like I was not going to breathe. I said, Lord, I will trust you. Went to my seat. Fastened my seat not so quickly. And I prayed, Lord, help me through it. I was so tense when I was taking off. I feel like I was gonna pass out or die. Again, I remembered what the Lord had shared with me through His Word. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Dearly beloved, after that trip, no more other trips became so hard. The anxiety just waned away because of the truth of the Word of God. That God enabled me to apply. Now if you send me anywhere, I can ride a plane. I can ride any boat. I can ride any ship. And dearly beloved, it's not that because I was able to do it. It's because that my Master is a kind, powerful, sovereign, good Master. He doesn't want me to worry about my lifespan. Because now I know God can take my life just like that anytime, even without riding a plane or a boat. My life is in His hands. So now my prayer is, Lord, just use me. Just use me now. And if you take me home, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So dearly beloved, I don't know what your struggles are right now about worry. What are you worrying about? What are you so anxious about? Remember this as we end. And we'll continue our study next Sunday. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns that your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of a value than they? Dearly beloved, you are important to the heavenly Father. His eyes and care are upon you. Trust Him and tell your worrying soul, be still, my soul. The Lord is on your side. Father, thank you for your word. Oh Lord, we need to hear this. We need to hear this now because there's just a lot of things happening, not just in our life, but even in our country and in the world that just tempts us to go and worry. But Father, thank you for refocusing our eyes this morning on you. Our kind, sovereign, powerful, rich, good Heavenly Father. And please change us to not be the worriers that we are, but to be the winners, the faithful ones who will execute faith on our dear Savior Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.